into the garbage, you flyboy!
This is a rebellion, isn't it?
I call it aggressive negotiations.
The garbage will do!
Hi, and welcome to this week's Trash Compactor podcast, Star Wars from a Certain Point of View. I'm MC.
I'm Sarah.
We have now finished the first season of The Mandalorian. The first ever live-action Star Wars series has had a full season. So we want to talk about just how we felt about this first season. What did you think, Sarah?
I really enjoyed it. I was not quiet about the fact that I wasn't excited about it. Not that I expected it to be bad. It just wasn't... It didn't sound like it was going to be my thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I was so proven wrong.
Yeah. No, I felt basically the same way as you. And I was not keeping it a secret. I kept on saying, it's like, is it about Sabine? No, then I don't care. Like, because I don't... Mandalorian's not really high on my list of things that I'm interested in Star Wars. And especially not this one, where it was going to be like, oh, so it's a Mandalorian who is a badass bounty hunter. Can I roll my eyes, like, any farther back?
Right, it's like Boba Fett series, anyone?
Yeah. But this series completely defied my expectations. Like, it had its flaws. There were some things in it that I did not care for that much. But even the episodes I didn't like, I still liked.
Yeah, the ones I liked the least were the ones that didn't really have anything to do with the larger story.
Yeah, and even those ones were still like, well, that was worth, you know, 35 minutes of my time.
Right. I mean, even the less great ones were still good episodes on their own.
Yeah.
It's just, my biggest complaint with them is in an 8-episode season, you shouldn't have filler.
Yeah, it was an 8-episode season, and I think there were 3 episodes that I would call filler.
Yeah, that's probably about right. I honestly wasn't counting.
But. Yeah, well, I'm just trying to think of what all of the episodes were. But yeah, I think that there were 3 episodes. We had the one where they were on the planet with the comely widow. You know, that very typical Western story where they're like arming all of the citizens. We had the one with the young bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one, the Ocean's 11, let's free this guy.
That's right. That's the one I forgot.
Yeah, though, I mean, I know a lot of people didn't like that one, but I did.
That's because you like Twi'leks.
Well, there is that, but that's not the reason why I liked it. I liked it because it was kind of this Ocean's 11 thing. I liked that they were putting a spin on this format that they had already put a spin on.
Right. No, I didn't dislike that one at all. It wasn't one of my favorites, but yeah. It was still good.
I do have to say that Baby Yoda did make me like this series a whole lot more than I thought I was.
You and a lot of other people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not just because Baby Yoda's freaking adorable, because that's true, but I liked what he added to the show. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was just the Mandalorian going along and doing his Mandalorian thing, I think we would have had a lot more of that filler type feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
But because you had this running plot line of Baby Yoda, everything felt a lot more cohesive.
Yeah, no, that's true. That is very true.
And certainly it has opened things up now where, I mean, I'm very interested in Moff Gideon.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm disappointed that we don't have the client anymore, because Werner Herzog was so good.
Yeah, it's... I think one of my issues with the series has been they built up all of these characters in, you know, in previews, in announcements, in trailers, and then they either weren't used or were killed right away.
Yeah.
Or they weren't used as much as they could have been.
Yeah, I think Werner Herzog, they actually got to use him quite a bit more than I thought they were going to. But I think it's a shame that he is no longer around, because he is just such an odd actor.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's basically playing Werner Herzog as an Imperial.
Right.
And it's just so different than anything we've seen in Star Wars
mm-hmm.
that it was really refreshing. But he's dead now. So, and I loved Giancarlo Esposito. So, you know, losing Werner Herzog for Giancarlo Esposito is like, I think that it's a, you know.
It's a good, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't think of the phrase. It's a good, not alternative.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. There's an equivalent exchange going on.
Right.
Yeah. No, I do agree that there were a lot of things that were built up to be a thing and then really weren't. I'm thinking of Fennec Shand.
Yep. That's the first one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
I would put IG-11 in there, but then he came back.
Yeah.
So, spoilers. Although, if you're listening to this, you probably have seen it all.
Yeah, obviously this is a full spoiler for the entire series.
If it had just stopped at episode one, I would have been, well, that was a disappointment. But then he came back, so.
But then he came back, and I
still
loved,
got killed.
But I loved the arc that they gave him.
Oh, me too.
But yeah, there was a lot of introducing characters and then having them go away. And that's what actually made the last couple of episodes so good. The fact that all of these characters then came back to help.
I'm going to start calling this the Avengers effect.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Not that it's a bad thing, but
yeah,
it's become a thing.
I am disappointed that Kara did not stay with Mando. At the end of the season, like, we know that she is going to be in season two,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just wondering how much is she going to be in season two? Is it going to be kind of the same as in season one, where she only turns up, like, for three episodes or whatever?
Hey, 3 out of 5 isn't bad. 3 out of 8 isn't bad.
I mean, I guess it's not too bad.
Yeah. No, I hope she's there more, because I really, really liked her.
I love her. I loved finding out that she was from Alderaan, like mm-hmm. that. Like, I think E.K. Johnson was talking on Twitter about how she's, like, writing stories in her head now of Kara training to be a bodyguard on Alderaan at the same time as Leia, Princess of Alderaan, is happening.
That would be so cool.
And I'm like, oh my god. So, like, the idea of, like, Kara being a bodyguard for, like, young Senator Leia, it's like, here for that. So here for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd read the hell out of that.
Oh, yeah. For anybody who is on Twitter, I definitely recommend the Twitters of the writers of the Star Wars books, in particular, E.K. Johnson and Rebecca Roanhorse are really good with their tweeting. Mm-hmm.
I put Delilah Dawson on there, too.
Delilah Dawson, also very good.
But anyway, back to Mando.
But yes, back to Mando.
I am glad we got to see his face, finally.
Yeah. I think they needed to do that at some point.
I think it surprised absolutely no one, but it did have to happen. And I like the way it did.
Yeah.
I forget the exact line, but it's... It's IG-11 is the one who sees it, who's not alive.
Yeah, it's Mando says, no living thing has seen my face.
And I was close.
IG-11 is like, I'm not a living thing.
Right. And that just, it worked out so well.
Yeah, it was really good. I still want to understand this whole not showing of faces.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Mando is maybe part of a very traditional sect, or maybe things have changed now that there has been this massacre on Mandalore.
Mm-hmm.
We need an explanation for this kind of stuff.
And I wonder if we're actually going to get it on the show, or if it's going to be a tie-in material thing.
I think that it might be a season 2 thing that we'll get.
Okay,
it does
I hope so.
Yeah.
But I would also be okay with it if it was in a book, or a comic, or tie-in material.
I think that we're going to get a lot more of Mandalorian history now that we had the first season where he's very mysterious, but I think that from here on out, now we've seen what his face looks like, and I betcha there's going to be, like, a, you know, loophole in that well, Baby Yoda is part of his clan, so Baby Yoda can see his face because, you know, family is allowed to have certain advantages that, could you know, be. Normal people don't.
Could be, could be.
I am very pleased with how many people have started to draw Baby Yoda in Baby Mandalorian armor now.
I know, I've seen so many of them. Like, oh, you're going to be happy.
Yeah, I drew one, and then, of course, people drew better ones.
Because... No, people just drew different ones. I was showing yours off to people, though.
Aw, thank you.
You're welcome.
Baby Yoda is... he's a Mandalorian now. I mean, I know that part of the season two is going to be looking for his people, but we already know, like, his people as Jedi don't exist anymore.
As far as we know, his people as Baby Yoda species don't exist anymore either.
I was gonna say that, yeah. I don't think that there's a Yoda species on some planet out there. I think that they're basically extinct.
I think so too, although it just popped in my head that, hey, maybe they're living in that, through the nebula thing where Zeb's people are living on Lirasan.
Huh.
Remember you had to follow with the bow staff, believing, and then you came out the other side and there was the secret original home planet? Well, next door to that is Yoda's original home planet.
Yeah, and I guess wayfinders are a thing now, too.
Yeah. I hope not, but I said, it just kind of popped in my head while we were talking.
That's definitely a possibility. It's a far possibility. I think that Yoda's species was never that prolific throughout the galaxy. Film Theory, who is a YouTuber that I enjoy every once in a while, did an episode about the Yoda species and basically just breaking down, like, with their aging process, that they're very unlikely to, you know, live to adulthood.
That's true.
Yeah, so I could see them being a not very common species, and that considering every single member of this species we have seen is force sensitive, I could also see them being quite the target for Darth Sidious.
True.
So, yeah, I think, like, this whole you're a clan of two until he comes of age, or you find his people, I'm like, well, Din is stuck for his entire life now. I was shocked at how much I enjoyed this because I was not, you know, I was always in the camp of, oh, well, it'll probably be okay, but it's not really something that I'm looking forward to. And then with my disappointment with the movie, when the next week we had an episode of Mandalorian, I actually posted on social media, Mandalorian gave me everything that The Rise of Skywalker couldn't. And the main point of it being an actual satisfying ending.
That's fair. I mean, I like Rise of Skywalker a lot more than you. But I did not expect to find myself waking up early in order to watch it before work.
Yeah.
I figured it would be I'll watch it when I've come home or when I've got time or over the weekend.
Yeah.
No, I was making it a point to get up early.
Yeah, a lot of times with shows like this, I will forget to watch an episode and be like, oh, well, I'll catch up when the next one airs, so then I'll watch two in a row. But with this, every time a new episode came out, I was watching it because I needed to know what was going on. And I would stay off social media so that I wasn't spoiled at all. Quick top five. What are the top five things that you really loved about Mandalorian season one?
Dang, that's tough. Because you want me to say Baby Yoda. And he's definitely in my top five, but he's not my top one.
Yeah.
I'm
not saying that you have to say anything, but, you know.
I know, and I'm bad at just, like, coming up with these. I loved seeing the Darksaber. I know we haven't actually talked about it in this episode, but I loved seeing the Darksaber.
I was so shocked to see it. Like, it had not occurred to, like, I mean, I kind of figured that we would see the Darksaber at some point, but
it opens up so many possibilities.
It really does. And actually, that's kind of the reason why I think we'll get more of Mandalorian history. Mm-hmm. In season two, now that we've, like, did the Darksaber. I thought that that may be, like, a season three thing.
Yeah. Ice cream maker.
Oh, the Cam Tono.
I'm just going to keep calling it the ice cream maker.
Fair enough.
The ice cream maker is actual canon now.
Yes.
That was just, it shouldn't be a top five, and yet every time I see it, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
So it kind of has to be. Okay, I love the armorer.
The armorer is fantastic.
She is amazing and wonderful and everything, and I would watch an entire series just about her.
Yeah, definitely. One of the best fights ever in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Just that small battle. The way, I loved the way the stormtrooper helmets just fucking smashed underneath her hammer.
Yeah. You come up with some.
Okay. Well, yeah, definitely the Darksaber is on my list. And I'd probably, you know, I do love the armor. I'd say Kara.
Okay.
I freaking loved Kara. I love this, you know, jaded rebel, like, because we've seen jaded former Imperials before, but we haven't really, like, played this whole idea of somebody who was with the Rebellion and then after doing all of that horrible stuff in the Rebellion is just like, I can't deal with being in the New Republic because of all of this stuff that I saw. And having Kara be from Alderaan helps explain that. Like, she's so, they blew up her planet.
Right.
So she's just so angry at Imperials that she can't imagine any life other than killing Imperials. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see more of an arc with her where maybe she gets to let go of some of her anger or figures out a way to channel it. I might possibly have ideas in my head of her joining the Resistance eventually. But yes, I loved her. And obviously, like, I mean, he goes without saying Baby Yoda is so great. He adds so much to the mythology of Star Wars because we know so little about Yoda's species that seeing this, you know, cute little baby member of his species just adds so many questions that they're questions that I don't particularly need to be answered.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, it's refreshing to have a mystery box where it's just like, I don't care if this is ever opened.
Yeah, it's a mystery box that has no real relevance to anything. It's just curiosity.
I like the switching up of the tone, the inspirations. Like, obviously, this is very much a Western, but at the same time, we do get hints of this other stuff where it's like, we're going to throw in some samurai stuff. And then, like I mentioned earlier, the episode where they were freeing the prisoner was very much kind of like this Ocean's 11 type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they were able to mix things up and give us something that we've never seen in Star Wars before. This is not a space opera.
No, it's a space western.
It's not like any of the saga movies, and it's not even like Rogue One or Solo. This is the first thing they've done that felt extremely different than everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because even like Clone Wars and Rebels still kind of fit in with everything that they had done before. So I like them going outside of the box and showing that the Star Wars franchise does have legs outside of what they've done previously.
See, now mine's going to sound so stupid after that, because that sounded so awesome. I was going to say, I love the fact that Chalmun's Cantina is run by droids.
completely valid.
And you know why I like it, other than the fact that it's hysterical, is because it shows that they're paying attention to those kind of details.
Yeah.
I appreciate the details a lot.
Yeah. So. Well, I think a lot of that has to come from the fact that Dave Filoni is a showrunner on this. And if there's anybody I am going to trust with Star Wars lore, it's going to be Dave Filoni.
Yes.
Yeah, I think Jon Favreau is very talented, but he certainly is not steeped in Star Wars as much as Filoni is. And I think he even said that it was through Dave that he gained an appreciation for, like, the prequels.
Okay.
I mean, sorry to bring up the Rise of Skywalker again, But, like, one of my big problems with The Rise of Skywalker is how much it did not seem to respect everything that came before it. Mm-hmm. And so having something that really seemed to want to be a part of the universe of Star Wars rather than competing against it is something that I appreciate.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Okay, so I'm not going to do it as top five because I don't know if we could come up with five, but is there anything that we didn't like about season one?
Other than the standalone episodes, which, like I said earlier, isn't the fact that the episodes are bad, it's the fact that it was almost half the season was standalone. No, I think I pretty much liked everything else.
I would agree with that, yeah. I mean, there are little bits of things, you know, where I would roll my eyes sometimes, but nothing extreme. Like, I enjoyed basically everything, and even the standalone episodes. It's like...
They were good episodes.
Yeah, they're good episodes. It's just a little bit of filler, and it feels weird that there's filler in an 8-episode season, but at the same time, it did build up, because in one of those filler episodes, we met Cara Dune.
Right.
And we're also establishing that, you know, the Mandalorian can't leave Baby Yoda on some planet. He's got to go and...
Drag him around.
Yeah, drag him around. Because, I mean, that if that didn't happen, then you would have had, you know, internet critics be like, why is he taking this baby with him everywhere he goes? Like, shouldn't he, like, take him somewhere safe?
That's true.
So they did take care of that, and I did complain about Fennec Shand, you know, dying right away, but I thought that episode was really good, like showing him with another bounty hunter, mm-hmm. and kind of establishing how different he is than other bounty hunters. And there was the hint at the end that she's still alive.
That she's potentially still alive, yeah.
Yeah, that she's potentially still alive. I think she is. I think that she's too rich of a character to kill off right away. And I think they couldn't do too much with her in season one because Ming-Na Wen is still busy with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, that's possible. I wasn't sure if that had still been filming at the time.
I think it is because, I mean, they're doing their last season now. So, or their last season is airing right now. So maybe they just wanted, like, a taste of her. And then once Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is off the air, we'll potentially get more of her. And there's also still the mystery of who was the one who came up to her body.
That's true.
Was it Gideon? I know a lot of people think that it might have been Boba Fett.
No.
And if it was Boba Fett, then that's actually the perfect way to introduce him into the show. I am not was not crazy about the idea of Boba Fett appearing in season one, but if he appears in season two or three, I'm kind of okay with it because he is such a important part of the Mandalorian mythos.
Right. My biggest issue with Boba Fett appearing is that we're then going to waste a lot of time explaining why he's not dead.
Considering the stuff that they don't explain on Mandalorian.
I know.
I could see them skating over it real hard and just leaving it up to the theorists to come up with an explanation.
Okay.
Because also, Din isn't going to freaking care.
I know, but the entire audience is going to care. And considering that's my biggest issue with it at this point, I'll take it.
But yeah, I could definitely see setting up Boba Fett as almost like a shadow archetype for mm-hmm. Din. Because Din has now established himself as an anti-imperial Mandalorian fighter. And Boba Fett has always been fairly pro-imperial. Mm-hmm. So it could be interesting having them go up against each other. And having people not rooting for Boba Fett, because since he was such a, you know, fan favorite, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people would have wanted to cheer for him, but they've made Din strong enough, interesting enough that, yeah, you are going to want him to beat Boba Fett.
True. Yeah, that's very true.
Wants her predictions for season two.
Sabine?
Sabine, yes.
Although I think there's a better chance of it being Bo-Katan than Sabine.
Yeah, I would like both to appear, quite frankly. I have heard it mentioned that they could just flat out get Katie Sackhoff to play Bo-Katan.
Oh, sure. Why not?
And I'd be here for that. There's actually most of the voice actors, I'm fine with them playing their character.
Yep.
Because most of them, they have enough of a likeness to them. I feel like the only one that it would be really hard to have play themselves in live action would be Callus.
That's true. But yeah, in general, the voice actors could very easily play a live action version of their characters.
Yeah. And so, Katie Sackhoff is so badass that having her as a live action Bo-Katan would be great. And I do not like the idea of Bo-Katan dying off screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Sabine, Bo-Katan, any of Sabine's family. I'm sure there's other things that I would want to see, but that's kind of the one that is at the forefront of my mind.
So, obviously, this is not a season two thing, but I would like by the end of the series, or maybe just the suggestion of it, but I would like the Darksaber to be Baby Yoda's lightsaber when Baby Yoda is old enough to wield a lightsaber.
That would be really cool, actually.
Because, I mean, like, the Darksaber, if I recall my history properly, was...
It was a Mandalorian Jedi's.
It was a Mandalorian Jedi. So, yeah, I would, like, love for it to go back full circle and have it be with a Mandalorian Jedi. Because I think that Baby Yoda will embrace... We already saw with the little, like, necklace that, mm-hmm. you know, I feel that's a nod to him embracing a Mandalorian lifestyle. I would also like for Baby Yoda to not speak with the Yoda speech Yoda pattern. Yoda. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of internet memes that have the Yoda speech pattern mm-hmm. with Baby Yoda. And that doesn't make any sense to me if he's not raised by the Yoda species. I would like him to be just terse and a man of few words. I want him to be like his daddy.
Speak like a Mandalorian.
Yes. That is the way.
This is the way. I'm good with that.
Yeah. And more Kara, like I've already said.
I'd like to go back to the lady on the planet. That's a terrible sentence, and I think you actually still know what I mean.
Yeah, the lady that obviously had the hots for Dim.
Yeah, who has a name that I don't remember.
I can't remember.
She had such a history.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to find out any of it. I would not mind if that comes back around.
Yeah, no, I totally get that.
And we get more of her. I think that's probably more of a tie-in thing, but I would still love to see it on screen.
I feel like there was also the suggestion that that could happen.
Yeah, exactly.
And because, I mean, they were really pushing that Mando liked her.
Mm.
You know, obviously that is something that they could just drop and not bring up again. But this show, I feel, is not something that's going to drop a lot of stuff.
Hopefully it will be a show where everything is important.
Yes, definitely. We already have season 2's been announced for later this year.
Right, fall, right?
Oh my god, it's 2020.
Yeah, that's scary. I'm trying to ignore it.
This has nothing to do with Mandalorian, but they did announce when Clone Wars is dropping.
It's as close as I get to squeeing.
And did you notice that we are actually going to be together when it happens?
Yes, but it's...
Not for long, but...
On Monday, right?
Yeah, we can watch one episode before we have to go fly off to our separate...
Oh, I hope so. I'm refusing to be excited about that until we have a time.
That's true. But, I mean, if they drop it the same way that they were doing Mandalorian...
We should be able to watch an episode together.
Yeah.
Which will be so cool.
Yeah. Which you know, won't be the ideal thing, but it was either that or taking us away for, like, 6 hours to watch the entire thing while we were at a convention.
Right.
I think for the first introduction into Disney Plus original programming, The Mandalorian... definitely proved that they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I am looking forward to everything that they're going to do with The Mandalorian, everything that they're going to do with everything else they're going to do, not just Star Wars, but with the Marvel series. I feel like this really held up in a way that I was not expecting.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up. A big risk, and it paid off.
listeners out there, please tell us what you thought of The Mandalorian Season 1, what you want for Mandalorian Season 2. You can contact us on Twitter at SW Trash Podcast, or you can contact me myself. I am MC Frotus on Twitter.
I am Murnell on Twitter.
And you can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, Tumblr, and we're Trash Compactor Podcast. And please support us on Patreon. Now that the new year has happened, we're going to be sorting out exactly what we want to do with our Patreon. And if you support us, then we'll be able to release more and more content. And there's nothing bad with more and more Star Wars content. So until next week, may the Force be with you.
This is the way.